fellow Freedom fans. You're listening to Preservative Talk Radio, brought to you by Freedom Ministries, where we confront the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com. Now let's go to our pre-recorded broadcast.
Educating your brain cells, blowing up brain cells, that's great. You're going to have a good time. They're going to die, but you'll be better off, okay? You're going to be, it's like exercising. It's burning calories. By the use of your brain, just think of that. You don't have to run around the block. You can just sit there and enjoy, yes, you can, the workout, exercising via the brain cell. As I was saying, there was these commentaries by Sir William Blackstone, and I'm going to quote something I said yesterday here that would have really offended Americans who were reading this. This was the good stuff. This was the internet of its day. This was the whatever news, nightly news, whatever. It's second to the Bible. Mr. Blackstone was saying there are two types of law, two types of citizenship or principles that either you're going to have all the rights of an Englishman, the common law, or you don't. It's the civil law of whatever territory they conquered. Now, if America was the type of that was conquered and was a mere subject, was a slave, subject to the rules of Parliament and the king by the power of almost like a military martial law, then you would have already had some sort of government, some sort of law, some sort of civil government, civil commonwealth, civil jurisdiction that was won by conquest. If you were a savage, a uncivilized, one that doesn't actually take possession of the land, but merely passes on it, there are no borders, you know, those kind of things. They actually saw things differently. There was a perspective of civil society, and we'll see some of the comments here in the original charter. He says, plantations or colonies in distant countries are either such where the lands are claimed by right of occupancy only by finding them desert and uncultivated and peopling them from the mother country. Those people would have the rights of Englishmen. They would have the common law. They would be basically, wherever they plant their feet as Englishmen, they would have the same status as if they were literally in England. Because it was done by freedom. It was done by very deliberate taking dominion as a person who was subject to the king, who is subject to God. Okay? So you're exercising dominion personally. Or where, when already cultivated, they had been gained by conquest or ceded to us by treaties. Was there a treaty that ceded this colony area? It was actually desert and uncultivated. There were people there, but they were in the same situation where, under the laws of England and chivalry and the common law and feudal law and even biblical law, you were supposed to take possession, set up boundaries, even as Nimrod did, was claimed in the Bible. He set up cities, put up walls, and staked a claim where there were no claims being staked in America prior to them. It is held that if an uninhabited country be discovered and planted by English subjects, all the English laws are immediately there in force. For as the law is the birthright of every subject, so wherever they go, they carry their laws with them. Okay, they would have the common law. Just prior to this, he had told them that in the American colonies, they don't have the common law. If you're in the colonies, you're thinking, okay, I got all this stuff and that's my birthright, right? And all of a sudden, he says, wait a minute. What are you saying we don't have the common law? That's only for those who have been conquered, who have the foot on their neck, the king's foot on their neck. Hey, wait a minute. We're freemen. But in conquered or ceded countries that have already laws of their own, did the American plantations have laws of their own? No. The king may indeed alter and change those laws, but till he does actually change them, the ancient laws of the country remain, unless such are against the law of God, which would be the pagan laws of the Indians, if they had actually truly taken dominion, as in the case of an infidel country. Our American plantations are principally of this latter sort, being obtained in the last century either by right of conquest and driving out the natives, or by treaties. Therefore, the common law of England as such has no allowance or authority there. They being no part of the mother country, but distinct, though dependent, dominions. So here's a little bit of a confusion. They're distinct dominions, though dependent. See this word dependency? He earlier said those who are dependent are bound to obey those upon whom they depend. So there was a little bit of a confusion here of the colonists. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read something that was the original charter. The original charter, what did it originally say? Those who came to this new land, what did they consider? Did they consider that they had brought all the common law and all that kind of stuff and with them, and even presumed to have a right to representation in Parliament? If that Parliament would have jurisdiction of laws over them, then they ought to have some representation, they would think. Or are they merely a separate dominion or country that has been conquered, and they are merely slaves who have been conquered? Let's go back and see what the original charter said. Original Charter of Virginia said, it would be the Charter of the Colonies and Plantations of Virginia and Plymouth. Also, we do declare that all and every persons, being our subjects, which shall dwell and inhabit within every or any of the said several colonies and plantations, that's here in America, on this continent, from the 30th parallel through the 45th, and every of their, look at this, their children, and every of their children. That means a posterity, not just those 1604, 1606, 1607, you know, King James people. It's their children, which shall happen to be born within any of the limits and precincts of the said several colonies and plantations. Listen to what this says in the original charter. Shall have and enjoy all liberties, franchises, and immunities within any of our dominions to all intents and purposes, listen to this, as if they had been abiding and born within this realm of England or any other of our said dominions. So the original charter had them as free persons who were setting their feet on land for which they were taking dominion as a matter of exercise of their labor. So that's what they considered themselves to be. And that they're, since they were children of those who had this charter and were operating on this charter, that they had the same benefits and same privileges and immunities of a free people. When Sir William Blackstone explained that, hey, they're not really like that. They're conquered. Well, we got to look back. Let's roll things back and say, hey, where was the war fighters? Now in Jamestown, there was a captain, there was a soldier. And I will tell you also in this charter, it was in some respects, yes, church and state were together. In fact, it was a duty of the state to advance religion. And that's what those in America said, wait a minute. That means that you've got the power of the sword to force people and to punish people who aren't thinking the way some little committee somewhere thinks is the proper religion. Now, the problem is we might be accountable to God and be doing something in good faith that you're going to punish me for. So that's a little bit kooky. But King James I said in this charter, spread Christianity to those already living in what was to become the English colonies. He said, in propagating of Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness and miserable ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God, may in time bring the infidels and savages living in those parts to human civility. Well, if they didn't have human civility, they couldn't have an established government as far as the law of the land was concerned. And to a settled and quiet government. See what it said? Bring them to true knowledge and worship of God, not by the power of the sword, folks, but by the blessing of love and good works and the example that Jesus taught. This wasn't a warring group that came to America. And may in time bring the infidels and savages living in those parts to human civility, to a settled and quiet government. So that is the charter, original charter of Virginia, was one that they would be, and the king granted, that as they, wherever they let their feet land, it was indeed an extension of the land of England under the king and all the rights that they, the birthright that they had in England would be extended to wherever their feet fell. So now we find out 10 years prior to this revolution of 1775-76, here in 1766, Sir William Blackstone explains, hey, those guys in America, the king's foot is on their neck. That means that really, see, in the days of those who founded the country, they knew going back to 1225 and then earlier, but they knew for sure the Magna Carta was something that expressly was written and preserved that made it no doubt that the king was bound to the law. Everybody's bound to the law. That means, and he's accountable to the people, every man, every free man, that he was accountable to him for his behavior. Well, if your neck is under the king's foot, he's not accountable to you, is he? So that was the rub. The reason I'm bringing all this up today and what I want to take with this is you have to be very careful, America, and those in our broadcast area, is that we as a people have allowed the system of government to basically run itself amok, completely amok. And there's going to be a point, well, I think that it's going to self-destruct. If we look back in history, that's just the way of things. That's what happens. They come to catastrophe. Start out good, and especially depending on how reprobate they become, they catapult themselves to catastrophe. Let me quote the Declaration of Independence that was produced in early July 1776. Prudence will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. That's what we do. It's the nice way of saying we become very complacent because it's tolerable. Even though it may be wrong, it's tolerable. We're a nation of people who would get satisfied by convenience and comfort. So those things that are wrong, we tolerate. Well, the wrong of killing the unborn, folks, is affecting your pocketbook today. It's cause and effect. It's a no-brainer. It was bound to happen. You know, so it's something to think about. It's going to show itself. We're going to come back. I'm going to read some things out of the Declaration of Independence. So you're going to find out that this was actually written in Virginia prior to the July 4th group. Thomas Jefferson sat down and wrote all this stuff. Actually, what he was doing, he was copying a whole lot of stuff that was said a few weeks earlier. A lot of people don't know that. So we're going to come back and read those things and see how it really affects us. How does it relate to those rights that are reserved? Some of the things we're going to see are wrongs, so we know the opposite of it is an indicator of what might be a reserved right. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is Preservative Talk Radio, being brought to you by the Liberty Works Radio Network. I encourage you to become a member of the Liberty Works Radio Network. Go to lwrn.net and find out more, and also find out more about me. Check our podcast out at preservativetalkradio.net.